The desire in my heart, Lord, is to be all you want me to be. You created me to commune with you day by day. And we know that it's the Holy Spirit at work in us that brings that to reality and truth. And we're going to hear words now in the season of Pentecost, a reminder of the work of the Holy Spirit in the heart of the believer. We hear from Romans chapter 8, verses 22 to 27.
I'll be reading from the book of Romans 8, 22 to 27. We know that the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies, for in this we hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. Lord bless the reading of his holy word. Amen.
Thank you, Chijoke, for reading to us. And to our gospel reading that I've chosen for today. In his opening chapter, the gospel writer Mark has begun to tell us of a holy day, a Sabbath day, early in Jesus' ministry. In the synagogue, Jesus has displayed his power and authority, his teaching and healing action. And after the synagogue service was over, they go to the home of Simon, Peter, and Andrew. But lunch is on hold, as we will hear now, as Necker reads to us from Mark chapter 1, 29 to 31.
As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with Jesus and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they immediately told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. Amen.
Thank you, Necker. Well, a mother-in-law doesn't often get a mention, does she, in the Bible, or rarely without a mention about a joke or two, the mother-in-law. I'm sure you know one or two. Well, you do know the difference, don't you, between in-laws and outlaws? Outlaws are wanted. Well, that wasn't true in my life, so I hope it wasn't in yours or isn't. And today we have sympathy for Simon Peter's mother-in-law because she is sick with a fever. Over these last few years, we've got used to seeing those sorts of numbers, haven't we, on thermometers. She took to her bed, unable to carry on with her day-to-day living on that Sabbath day. The feverish condition had laid her low. An infection in the bloodstream meant that she had this high temperature. I want us to take that word fever a little bit further. As well as describing a medical condition, the word fever is sometimes used to describe the restlessness within a person's life. There can be a fever within. And Mark here, as he writes, this word fever, it literally means a fire. A fire. And the human condition that we live in can sometimes mean an experience of burning restlessness. Indian spiritual life often describes this inner turbulence, debilitating, destructive, and above all, obscuring the truth through anxiety or fear or lust, a fever of anger or pride, the feverish fires of the spirit, they say. And when you think about our world and our society today, it's not far from the truth. These feverish fires burn strong. There is the fever of consumerism that says we are what we buy. The restlessness for more and more, better and better, keeping up with the Joneses. The fever of desiring some new experience or some new product. And we've seen, haven't we, how the fire of these fevers have laid the resources of our planet to waste as we consume more and more the Earth's resources. We have a fever in our world politics, a fever for power, a fever for more land, a fever for war and supremacy. There is a fever in the financial turmoil. And perhaps if we admit it, we too, as we look within our lives today, have a restlessness, a fever. It's easy to show such fevered living as a Christian. The life of a church can be one of activity and activity. It can be a fever. It is a deep-rooted thirst or desire that is the cause of this restlessness, this dis-ease that marks human life, like an ill-fitting wheel on an axle. When the fire of fever burns within, we are somehow out of kilter, out of harmony. Out of harmony with ourselves, with each other, and with God. Mark's gospel is quite feverish itself. There's the fevered crowd clamoring for cures for their many diseases. Everyone is looking for you, Jesus, is Peter's exasperated cry. Even Jesus is gripped by a kind of fever. He says, I must go on to other villages around and preach in them also. Elsewhere in the Gospels, he declares, I came to set the earth on fire. And I wish it were already kindled. But let us not be misled. His agitating concern to complete his mission was rooted and grounded in a deep inner confidence in the healing purposes of God. Jesus was grounded in the center of his Father's will. And how we need that same grounding today. God, the center point of our being, the source of our wholeness. Only then, when we come to the cool fountain of God, will our fevered spirits be still. God alone is our heart's true desire. That's what we're truly restless for, as we heard in Betty's Psalm of Desire earlier. It was the evangelist Smith Wigglesworth who said, "Desire God, and you will have desires from God." A wonderful thought. Desire God, and you will have desires from God. So in the light of this fever, let us see now how Jesus responded to Peter's mother-in-law. "And it was immediate," we are told. "He went to her, he took her by the hand, and helped her up." He went to her, took her by the hand, and helped her up. And those threefold actions are typical of the healing ministry of Jesus. He went to her. Yes, he saw the crowd, but he saw the individual as well, just as he sees you today, your heart and mine. Jesus knows our need. He gets involved. He went to her. Then he took her by the hand. And from the healing hands of Jesus flowed out the healing love of God. On this occasion and on countless others, then and today. And this ministry is the church's inheritance. It is our ministry today to be carefully and sensitively offered to our church and our communities. He took her by the hand to help her up, to lift her back onto her feet. His touch calmed the fever in her life with his coolness and balm. And I think this idea of lifting people up on their own two feet powerfully expresses the true meaning of healing today. Healing is about providing the person themselves with the resources they need for healing to take place within. Doctors, surgeons, nurses help to provide the right conditions and resources. And healing happens when people can stand on their own two feet. I remember Jesus said to one man, "Take up your mat and walk." And now, released from her fever, Peter's mother-in-law is released into the service of others. We were told she began to serve them. This may have meant caring for the household, preparing and serving food perhaps, feeling useful again. And for many people, perhaps you know yourself, being unwell or incapacitated in some way grieves us because it makes us feel useless. We don't feel useful or able. But isn't that also a kind of fever, a restlessness that brings us down? When deep down we know we shouldn't measure our worth simply by what we are able to do or unable to do. Our value is intrinsic, who we are, called by name, precious to God, aside from how we may be able to help or feel useful. We are first and foremost human beings. Healing is never a private and personal blessing. We belong to each other. So when healing comes, it is always part of the healing and helping of the wider body. And we are set free to serve as we have been served. Our desire for God gives us that desire for others. So how is your temperature today within? Certainly on the outside, I think it's pretty hot, isn't it? Maybe that's reflected within as well. So as we respond now in worship to God's word, come to the one who knows your heart's desire, who knows your deepest need. Come to the one whose body was broken on the cross for our broken world to bring healing and restoration. Come to be taken by his hand and lifted up today. Come for release, to leave your burdens with the Lord. Come as you are. Amen.